Welcome to Alt Universe Top 40. My name is John McMullen. For the next hour, we will listen to some records, talk about chart positions, and make some good-hearted adjustments that time and taste demand. On today's installment, we will hear a psychedelic rock band's cover of a soul classic, a single that became a hit when its original jam band arrangement exceeding 21 minutes was edited down to just under 3. For our little slice of heaven, we will examine a country rock single that was several years ahead of its time. This particular release was written and produced by a true character from Malden, Missouri, who, before he died, told me stories I found hard to believe, including one about Alan Klein's company ultimately owning the masters that he produced. As it turns out, every one of this character's outlandish claims turned out to be true. Later, we will appreciate a British reworking of an old Big Joe Williams song that didn't make the top 40 in the U.S. when it was released, but was nevertheless more recently licensed by Disney to be played during the trailers for the movie Finding Dory. And finally, for our Hall of Perfection track, we will present a single that exists based on happenstance events that took place shortly after a romantically involved couple called it quits, but decided to work together as musicians anyway. But first, just as we do each week, we tip off today's proceedings with a single that at some point was perched at number 40. Some of these were on the way up, some were on the way down. Some hit number 40 for a one-week peak and became extinct. What kind of number 40 do we have today? Well, we start with a selection that was, according to its writer, inspired by a single that we are likely to play as a little slice of heaven on this show in the future, Little Queenie by Chuck Berry. Even though a video from this act's 1971 Top of the Pops performance on British television clearly shows Elton John miming the piano part, the piano glissandos were, in reality, played by legendary Yes keyboardist Rick Wakeman. In addition to Wakeman, the contributors to this catchy single included Ian MacDonald of King Crimson and later of Foreigner on the overdubbed saxophones. Mark Bowlman and Howard Kalin of the Turtles helped with backing vocals, while David Bowie's producer and one-time husband of vocalist Mary Hopkin, Tony Visconti, produced the sessions.
Thank you.
spending a week at number 40 on its way up to number 12 in Cashbox, number 10 in Billboard, and number 1 in England. That was T-Rex and their signature single written by the late Mark Bolan, Bang a Gong, Get It On.
Alt-Universe Top 40.
Number 20.
At number 20, we have another new wave rock act from the 80s that was part of the thriving club scene in Columbia, Missouri. Like their friends in Fool's Face, the four talented musicians that comprised The Mistakes all came from the Springfield, Missouri area. And, also like Fool's Face, The Mistakes were a first-rate live act, filling up the Blue Note in Columbia on a regular basis. Their debut album, National Pastime, received college radio support all over the Midwest, and their follow-up EP looked as if it would catapult them onto the charts worldwide. Suddenly, though, their momentum seemed to disappear. The group's unity splintered, and leader Bill Brown ultimately left the band to become a member of the touring versions of the Ozark Mountain Daredevils. Tragically, Bill died in a house fire several years ago. Nevertheless, from happier times, here are The Mistakes and an EP track that should have been released as a single and should have reached, at the very least, number 20 in Billboard and Cashbox, Shelter from the Storm.
I think the situation could get the best of me. Maybe I ought to back away. I missed an indication that started off of me.
With a song that should have been a top 20 single, that was Bill Brown, Ron Butler, Chris Kaufman, and Steve Klingon, collectively known as The Mistakes and Shelter from the Storm.
This one went to 11.
My name is John McMullen, and this is Alt Universe Top 40. At number 11, we have a song written by Smokey Robinson. In its original incarnation, it was released by The Temptations in 1966, ultimately reaching number 1 on the Billboard R&B chart and number 29 on the pop charts of both Billboard and Cashbox. In England, it peaked at number 10 on the pop charts. 4 years later, in 1970, the psychedelic rock act Rare Earth recorded their unique cover version, which clocked in at a whopping 21 minutes and 32 seconds, enough to fill all of side two of their initial album recorded for their own Rare Earth label, which was distributed by Motown. With Motown making the distribution decisions, Rare Earth's 21-minute marathon cover was edited to just under 3 minutes at the Hitsville Studios in Detroit. The edited version was then released as a single, shooting up to number 2 on the Cashbox charts, number 4 in Billboard, and number 1 in Canada. When that same single reached number 20 on the R&B chart, Rare Earth became one of the few genuine rock acts to achieve a top 20 soul single in Billboard.
Never mind.
At number 11 in Record World on its way up to number 2 in Cashbox. That was the single version of Get Ready by Rare Earth, the number 4 song of the year in 1970 as determined by the Cashbox year-end charts. At number 10, we have a single that only reached number 95 in England, but slowly built itself with club play in post-punk clubs and industrial discotheques in the late 80s. It was the third solo single to scrape the lower rungs of the British chart by the one-time lead singer of Bauhaus, a vocalist often called the Godfather of Goth, Peter Murphy. While Murphy would ultimately hit number 1 on the Billboard Modern Rock Tracks chart in the United States with his 1990 single Cuts You Up, a song that we will certainly play at some point in the future, in 1988, his chart fortunes were far different. Only 5 years earlier, with Bauhaus, Murphy was seen in the horror film The Hunger, singing one of the band's most successful songs, Bela Lugosi's Dead. That exposure alone made Bauhaus the de facto leaders of the goth rock scene. However, the band broke up in 1986, and Murphy released two relatively unsuccessful albums. The second of those, Love Hysteria, slowly began to receive club play in Europe and in scattered pockets across the United States. That airplay caused the album to climb up to number 135 in the U.S. Once it charted, MTV placed Murphy's video to All Night Long in rotation, and he began to develop an American audience. Two other tracks from Love Hysteria began receiving airplay, Dragnet Drag and this one, which we think should have, at the very least, reached number 10 in both the United States and England, Indigo Eyes. With a single that peaked at number 95 in the UK, but sounds like a top 10 record to us, that was the Godfather of Goth, Peter Murphy, and Indigo Eyes.
Number nine.
At number nine, we have a song whose melody was originally composed when its composer, Mac Gaydon, was only 5 years old. According to Mac, quote, "I used to play on my grandmother's piano, and I came up with this simple little melody, almost like a lullaby. I'd always known I'd use that melody somewhere along the line," close quote. Well, Mac used it in 1967 at Fred Foster's sound studio in Nashville with co-writer Buzz Kaysen, while vocalist Robert Knight was cutting the B-side of a single for Monument Records. When the sessions were completed, the writers, who were also serving as producers, knew that the flip side was a stronger song than the intended A-side, so they changed their plans. Ultimately, Robert Knight's version of Mac Gaydon's Little Lullaby hit number 13 later in 1967. But that was only the beginning. In the United States, this particular song is one of only two in the history of the Billboard charts to become a top 40 hit in the 60s, as we mentioned above, the 70s, with the version of it we are getting ready to play, in the 80s by Rex Smith and Rachel Sweet, and in the 90s by Gloria Estefan.
Thank you.
singing the 70s hit version of a production by Papa Don Schrader and Tommy Cogbill of the famed Memphis Boys. That was Carl Carlton at number 9 on his way to number 6 with the most successful version of Mack Gaydon's childhood lullaby, Everlasting Love. Incidentally, the only other song to ever be a top 40 hit in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s was The Way You Do the Things You Do.
Universe Top 40!
Number 8.
Now we are up to a song that is modern and great and should have reached number 8. It isn't by a young alternative band, a recent Americana solo act, an EDM artist, or a modern day jam band. It is a 2014 recording from a progressive rock act that formed in 1968, recorded gold albums, and toured constantly during the 70s, and later topped the singles chart in the U.S. with a surprise hit single during the fall of 1983. 31 years after that number one single, the group that evolved from the 1967 British band Mabel Greer's Toy Shop entered Neptune Studios of Los Angeles to record their 21st studio album. Roy Thomas Baker, the famed producer of Queen and the Cars, was put in charge of the sessions. While the resulting album did not turn into a surprise number one the way their single had back in 1983, it was certainly a success based upon the other types of music that were dominating the sales charts at the time. This five-man band made up of retirement-age musicians hit number 20 on the British album chart and number 26 in the U.S. Here is Yes. With a song that was modern and great and should have reached number 8. That was the five-man progressive rock act Yes and Step Beyond, a track that should have been released as a single from their Heaven and Earth album, their last studio recording that featured founding member Chris Squire.
Universe Top 40.
Now we are up to our little slice of heaven at number 7, and it is an amazing little country rock record written and produced by the same songwriter that wrote the Connie Dykus single, I'll Be Untrue, that we played a couple of months ago. That Connie Dykus record and the one we are getting ready to play were both written by the late Jerry Tuttle, a musician I would get to know a number of years before his death in 2014. One thing I quickly noticed about him was that everybody just called him Tuttle. The person who introduced us called him Tuttle. In fact, I don't remember ever hearing anyone refer to him as Jerry. Anyway, Tuttle once told me about a very early country rock vocalist named Chuck Slaughter, who had a distribution deal through the Cameo Parkway label. Cameo Parkway was once a powerhouse record company out of Philadelphia that released mostly pop and soul records. Well, Chuck and a guy named Otis Ellis formed a new rockabilly and country label, Lucky 11 Records, to be distributed by Cameo Parkway. Based on the work that Tuttle had been doing with Connie Dykus, Narvel Feltz, and several other rockabilly performers in the very early 60s, Chuck chose Tuttle to write and produce several singles. One of Tuttle's songs that Chuck recorded and released on the Lucky 11 label was the incredibly catchy You Got Me Crying. It received pockets of airplay in various markets, but never caught on as a national hit. Actually, none of the Lucky 11 releases were huge hits, even with the Cameo Parkway muscle behind them. As the early 60s gave way to the mid and late 60s, the Lucky 11 label branched out into garage rock and straightforward rock and roll to survive. But Chuck Slaughter, operating almost like a rockabilly version of A&M artist and co-owner Herb Alpert, continued to release and promote his own records, oversee production on other acts by songwriting and arranging pros like Jerry Tuttle, and somehow find time to play a few live shows. Unlike the A&M label, Lucky 11's fortunes as a record company turned out to be not so lucky. Their masters were all purchased by Alan Klein once the label shut down. Looking back, though, their lack of big-time success really came down to their timing being just a little off. Chuck Slaughter's pure rockabilly records from the very early 60s seemed to be about a year late. With his next batch, he was about 2 years ahead of his time. As far as we can tell, Chuck Slaughter is still alive, currently living in McKenzie, Tennessee. Today's little slice of heaven belongs to him and his collaboration with the late Jerry Tuttle, You Got Me Crying.
Crying, you got me crying, and I'm a fool, you see. You really hurt me, you got me crying. Lying, you were just lying, with such a pretty face, such an honest face, you were just lying. That's the way the cold wind blows, should have learned the lesson long ago. Guess I'll just be on my way tomorrow, just another lonely day. Crying, soon you'll be crying, like all the cheaters do. Someone will hurt you too, you got me crying. I'll just be on my way tomorrow, just another lonely day. Crying, soon you'll be crying, like all the cheaters do. Someone will hurt you too, you got me crying.
With our little slice of heaven at number 7, that was Chuck Slaughter and his single written and produced by Jerry Tuttle, You Got Me Crying. Incidentally, Tuttle's ideas never stopped as he got older. He pitched this song to me and told me that a pop-punk version of You Got Me Crying needed to be recorded. I totally agreed with him then, and I still do. One of these days, Tuttle, one of these days. Since our last broadcast, we have received messages from all around the world. Andreas from Germany says that he heard our 6070 kilohertz broadcast on his Texon PL880 receiver with telescopic antenna. He reports 35433 and notes a generally good signal strength. He also says, thank you for the very good music and best regards from Berlin. Well, Andreas, we appreciate your report and we hope that you enjoy our broadcasts in the future. Giorgio from Italy heard our shortwave transmission on his Texon PL600. He reports 54443 and says our music choices were excellent. He even sent us an air check so we could hear how we sound in Italy. Thank you so much, Giorgio. We appreciate the report and the air check, and we hope you continue to hear programs you enjoy on shortwave, including ours. Can you hear us? If you can, please send your questions, comments, and reception reports to us in an email address to john@altuniversetop40.com. We would love to hear from you.
This is Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 6.
Now we are up to our bonus hit at number 6, awarded to an act that has placed at least 6 albums into the top 40 of the album charts. Today's forward-thinking singer-songwriter has certainly done that. Several months ago, we pointed out that former Genesis lead singer Peter Gabriel had confused record company executives and, in some cases, the general public by naming 3 albums in a row Peter Gabriel. Of course, it is quite common for a debut album by a solo artist to simply be a self-titled release, but to name 3 consecutive albums after yourself takes quite a bit of self-confidence and probably a good bit of stubbornness. Nevertheless, each of those albums featured tracks that were played regularly on the airwaves in Peter's native England and especially in the United States. For the first album that he called Peter Gabriel, Peter wrote a song predominantly in 7/4 time while sitting on top of a hill in England and reflecting on his future after quitting Genesis. Famed rock producer Bob Ezrin managed the recording sessions and achieved a unique sound with a triple overdub of Steve Hunter's acoustic guitar and a sound filter on Peter's synthesizer that kept his parts subdued. Drummer Alan Schwartzberg was not allowed to play a full drum set, but was given a shaker for one hand and told to strike an oversized telephone book with the other. This primitive rhythm was mixed with synthesized drum sounds played by Larry Fast. The finished product hit number 13 in England, number 16 in Germany, and number 17 in Belgium. In the United States, it was played on progressive FM stations, but only made it up to number 68. We believe it should have reached number 6.
Climbing up on Salisbury Hill, I could see the city light. Wind was blowing, time stood still.
Connection I should cut.
with a bonus hit at number 6 that has been licensed for the movies Vanilla Sky, In Good Company, and Finding Dory. That was Peter Gabriel from the first of the 3 albums titled Peter Gabriel and his debut single as a solo artist, Salisbury Hill. My name is John McMullen, and this is Alt Universe Top 40. Now, at number 5, we have an early 80s power ballad released by the 5-man rock act on the Epic label, Cobra. You may recall that a few months ago, we played the song Only You Can Rock Me by Cobra, pointing out that the lead vocalist would likely sound familiar, even if the song did not. Well, that will also apply to our song at number 5. If you had a radio in the mid to late 80s, then you have definitely heard this vocalist before.
All the games I've played, it seems the dice were always loaded. Never stood a chance and I never knew. But I found a love so good that I wanna hold it. It's something that I'll have to see through. Looking at you, looking at me, what a solid gold love this could be. Just a lot of one-night stands. I was never looking for another kind.
Looking at You, a song that should have been a top 5 single. That was Jimmy Jameson, later of Survivor, singing lead for Cobra, the short-lived hard rock act that also included Jeff Klavan on drums, Tommy Kaiser on bass, Mandy Meyer of Crocus on guitar, and, of course, the ever-present Jack Holder on guitar and keyboards.
Alt-Universe Top 40!
Cool. Now we are up to number 4, which means we are going to play a song that charted considerably better in England than it did in the United States. It is by a group that had a difficult time breaking through in the U.S. even during the second wave of the British invasion. In November of 1964, the group Them released their second single, Baby Please Don't Go. It was a reworking of the Big Joe Williams Delta Blues song from 1935. Their arrangement, though, was influenced more by John Lee Hooker's Don't Go Baby than it was Big Joe Williams.
Baby, please don't go. Baby, please don't go. Baby, please don't go down in New Orleans. You know I love you so. Baby, please don't go. Baby, your mind done gone. Well, your mind done gone. Well, your mind done gone. Oh, babe, please don't go.
That should have reached number 4 in Billboard, Cashbox, and Record World. That was Them and their top 10 British hit, Baby Please Don't Go.
Making changes that time and taste demand. This is Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 3. Now we are up to our 3 from way downtown. And today we're talking about downtown Rochester, New York. The Soul Brothers 6 formed in Rochester in the mid-60s. Originally called the Soul Brothers 5, they were, at first, the 5 Armstrong brothers, Sam, Charles, Moses, Harry, and Gene. Then, vocalist and songwriter John Ellison joined the group, and they became the Soul Brothers 6. They released 2 singles that went absolutely nowhere in 1965, which caused Harry and Gene to leave the group. Those 2 were replaced by Von Benjamin and Lester Peelman. Right before signing with Atlantic, Sam Armstrong also left and was replaced by Joe Johnson. Their big break with Atlantic was supposed to be this John Ellison composition, but it only charted at number 91 on the Billboard Hot 100.
Treat me right.
with their one and only chart appearance at number 91. Those were the Soul Brothers Six, and the single they recorded at the Atlantic Studios in New York on March 30th, 1967, Some Kind of Wonderful.
Alt-Universe Top 40.
Number 2.
Now we are up to number 2, which means we are going to play a song that we think should have hit number 1. And it just so happens to be a cover version of the song we heard at number 3, played by a rock act that was once produced by the writer of the song we heard at number 7. Back at number 7, we played the song You Got Me Crying, released by Chuck Slaughter on Lucky 11 Records back in the 60s. As we mentioned when we played it, the song was written and produced by the late Jerry Tuttle. A couple of years later, another act on the Lucky 11 label, Terry Knight and The Pack, released a single that reached the lower 40s. Then, Terry Knight quit the band to focus on producing and the business end of music. The group kept going, and the Lucky 11 label continued to release their records. Without Terry Knight, they changed their name to The Fabulous Pack, and in 1967, released a song called Wide Trackin', which was produced by Jerry Tuttle. A few months later, again on the Lucky 11 label, The Fabulous Pack released another Jerry Tuttle production, their cover of Harlem Shuffle. By 1969, Tuttle was no longer their producer. Terry Knight, with a production contract of his own with Capitol Records, signed his old friends, The Fabulous Pack, to a production deal and arranged for the records to be released on Capitol. Before their first album was finished, though, he changed their name to Grand Funk Railroad. Well, as it turned out, Terry Knight and Grand Funk were to part ways again, engaging in a nasty legal battle when the band wanted to be produced by someone other than Knight. Eventually, the dispute was settled, but the band was left with a debt so big that Knight repossessed their soundboard, instruments, speakers, and traveling gear immediately after they stepped off the stage from a Madison Square Garden performance. Undaunted, the group recorded several more huge records, being produced by Todd Rundgren, Frank Zappa, and, on this track, Jimmy Iommer.
Can I get a witness?
number two with a song that we think should have hit number one. That was Grand Funk with their version of the old Soul Brothers 6 song, Some Kind of Wonderful. Incidentally, when Jerry Tuttle first told me that he had produced sessions on the guys from Grand Funk Railroad, I really didn't believe him. But every single detail he told me turned out to be 100% true. It is amazing how all things in music are indeed truly connected. Now we are up to our Hall of Perfection track at number one. It is a perfectly produced synthesizer track from the early 80s that came about when one of its two co-writers was trying to figure out how to play a new synthesizer. Several months ago, we played the single I Only Want to Be With You by the British new wave act The Tourists. You may recall that The Tourists had done well in England, but had failed to reach the top 40 in the U.S. Not long after that single was released, The Tourists broke up. Two of the group's members, who had also been a couple, Dave Stewart and Annie Lennox, also broke up. But they only broke up as a couple. Musically, they decided to stay together and form a new group called Eurythmics. Both Dave and Annie were accomplished instrumentalists, so for their post-Tourist incarnation, they purchased two new synthesizers, an analog tape machine, a small mixing board, a computerized drum machine, and a single drum mic. One day, after having fully recovered from a punctured lung, Dave was fiddling around on one of their new synthesizers and stumbled onto an incredibly catchy riff. Annie immediately recognized that he had hit upon something special, and she joined in on the other synthesizer to begin converting the happy accident into an actual song. After completing lyrics jointly, the two recorded the song, first in a tiny room above a London flower shop, and then in a former church that Dave ultimately bought in North London. Unbelievably, during those sessions, Annie sang all of her vocal parts through a microphone designed to record hi-hat cymbals. Nevertheless, it worked.
Sweet dreams are made. Abuse.
our Hall of Perfection track at number one, those were the Eurythmics and Sweet Dreams Are Made of This, a single that hit number one in the U.S., Canada, and France, and number two in England, Spain, New Zealand, and Ireland. Well, that's all we have for today. Please be sure to join us next week for another installment of Alt Universe Top 40. In the meantime, to check out our older episodes, simply download the Mixcloud app and follow Alt Universe Top 40. Also, you can follow the links on our website at www.altuniversetop40.com. As we mentioned before, we would love to hear from you. Please send your questions, comments, or reception reports to us in an email addressed to john@altuniversetop40.com. For our website and email addresses, those are all lowercase and 40 is a number. Until we meet again, keep making those good-hearted changes that time and taste demand, and keep on smiling through the static.
Alt Universe Top 40!